Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. I've been so excited to sort of get into a groove of interviewing some folks, some teachers. Wherever I go in my travels, I try and nab someone and say, hey, tell me about your experience about a specific thing in the classroom or working on a specific play. And this is just as a side note, if you see me in a conference and you want to share something, nine times out of 10, I have my camera microphone with me, and I would love to talk to you because I think these are the best kinds of podcasts to have. I mean, instead of just listening to me drone on, you can listen to someone in your field, who has something to share. And this one's great because it's a student director. So we have an interview with Emma, who is a high school student in British Columbia, and she is in the middle of directing my play, Tuna Fish Eulogy. And so it was great to listen to her talk about her process and what it's like to direct her peers and her vision for the show. And if you have student directors, sit them down and listen to what Emma has to say. All right, let's take it away. The first thing I want to know is why you chose the play.
The tricky one. I think the reason I chose it was because it was such a, it looked like it was going to be so challenging. Like I couldn't even read all the way through it because of the way it's written.
Yeah.
And so I had this kind of brief outline of the story and I tried to get through the bits at the beginning, the bits at the end, and I pieced together the middle and I worked that way.
Right.
And I just thought it'd be a really great challenge because our class is, grade 10, 11, 12. And I know a lot of them. So I thought they were kind of up for a challenge and I've never done anything directee in my life, so
is this
jump 2 feet in?
Well, why not? Is this a class project? So is this for a mark?
We're doing 4 one-act plays.
Yeah,
and I thought like everyone's going to pick a comedy; it's going to be ridiculous like that. And I wanted to do something different, and so I chose this one. I mean, for that reason as well. But then when we all brought our chosen pieces to the table, everybody had different. Like, we've got an absurdist play. We've got a really abstract, really kind of lilting, beautiful play. And we've got this.
It's really cool.
Clever high school kind of drama going. So we've got a really big variety of plays.
That's good fun. That's going to be a good evening. So, and how long do you guys get to rehearse?
We started rehearsing 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We started like, we've been casting and figuring out sets for the past couple of months.
Wow.
But I think our shows are, second week of January.
Oh, so you still have a good amount of time to do it.
Yeah.
How big is your class if you have 3 grades in it?
It's big. I think we've got 32, 35, something like that.
That's huge. But,
yeah.
For drama, that's huge.
It is. I mean, we've only got the one drama teacher, so all the classes are really big. But, yeah, everyone's really dedicated. Like, we've all signed contracts to say we're available after school to do extra rehearsals and such.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. We did... This was our second year trying this.
Yep.
Last year, because of the job action,
yes,
we started having to do all of our shows in school, and we just continued.
This is so a way well. To do it.
Totally. Yeah, it works so well.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was it like when you brought the show for others to see? What was their first reaction?
It was funny because I picked Tuna Fish at the beginning of the summer, and I talked to Lana about it then.
Yeah.
And so she said, we're going to have a read-through of the first show that was brought to me. So she kind of slammed this one on the class first, and they were like, what the hell? Like, it's going to be so hard. And it was really hard because we did this, we all sat in a circle, and we tried, like, passing the lines through and reading it that way, and we just gave up and had, like, 4 people at a time play four people. And then we'd pause and break off and choose 4 new people.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really good feedback. And then what we did, we all stood and went around the circle and talked about the imagery we saw. So out of all the 4 shows, I think, Tuna Fish hit the hardest. And everybody just had all these ideas and they wanted me to hear them. And they wanted their idea to be the best idea. And it was really, really inspiring because they were just so enthusiastic. And that's what I was worried about, was people not taking to it and not...
And like going, I'm not doing this, no way.
Yeah.
So what did you see? What imagery do you see when you read this play?
Well, that's the cool thing. We have this great thing in Vernon called IGO cards. And so when you're in high school, you can go to any performance for $5 rather than like $30. So I go to every show that comes to Vernon. And there was this great dance recital that came called Backhouse Dance. And they did this really neat, they used their biggest thing, I don't know what to call it, but their lighting was just these pools of light. And they played with jumping in and out. So when all six dancers jumped into their spotlight, the stage went from black to just like these, like, and they were all in these white costumes, right? So just like the light exploded, and I want to play with that, jumping in and out of light and levels and such. So
Oh, I like that a lot. I think that's really cool. Yeah. So you're going, so a little bit more, something abstract-y as opposed to...
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Cool.
What about costuming?
Costuming. That's something that I still haven't worked all the way through. My actors want it to be really black and white. They don't want anything. And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't had any cool visions of costumes. I feel like I could do anything and it would work.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that.
That's coming later.
Yeah.
What questions do you have?
Oh my god. So many. Where did it come from?
Well, I wanted to write a play because I saw a play with that format.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I got to write this. And then I was writing a play for someone was putting up things of one act. So I'm like, all right, I'll use this format. And then it was going to be a comedy.
Oh, no way.
It was about someone eating tuna fish what happens when you eat tuna fish and if it's bad and you die, like, would you die? So I'm like, okay. And then it just didn't. And so it's kind of weird because because I've been asked that question a lot, and I can firmly say, well, I started writing it because it was about tuna and it was about this form, but what the play became, I cannot tell you
I can't even imagine the process there. Like, it started small and then just took off and ran away. Like,
sometimes it's like that. Sometimes I have such a very clear, the path is very clear, and I can tell you the beginning, the middle, and the end. And sometimes I'm like, sometimes I'll like look at plays and go, who wrote that? Okay. I'm not sure. How did that? I'm not like that.
Yeah, no, it's so, so moving. I really love it. It's so
cool.
Good. Yeah.
What challenges do you think, what have been your challenges in rehearsal so far?
It was interesting because that's why I was drawn to your workshop earlier, as I was sitting and I was like, oh my God, I can totally present this to the kids that I'm working with, because they're just being themselves, speaking the lines.
Yes.
As talented as they are, like, we've got some of our very best actors in the school are in, I mean, it has to be, we definitely selected the cast that way, the most up for challenges and the most talented, and the ones that were ready to work hard are in mine, and I'm really thankful for that, but they just, it's such a challenging show that they're already.
How do you get them to not be themselves? Because these characters are they're very specific. I was talking to Hannah, who's playing Miss Scully.
Anna,
sorry. Yeah. I apologize. and she had this wonderful idea about how the character sort of gave up on herself. And I'm like, okay, now how do you, and then that's the kind of thing we go, how do you play that? You know,
how
do you bring that to life? Because what a wonderful thing for an audience to see, like, not just to keep it inside. Because I'll bet you that your actors are, well, obviously, they're smart and they know, but how do they actually get it on the outside?
Well, we sat down and we drew this roadmap of each character and their relationships to one another and to other people in their lives and what's affected them and what experiences have they had that have shaped who they are. You know, things like that aren't mentioned, like how many siblings, if any, did anybody have? Like, what kind of environment did they grow up in? What were their parents like? What pressures were put on them in school? And things like that. And it was really fun because, I mean, I bet another group, another team for the show could have done the same thing and come up with totally different answers. So that's what makes it interesting, is everyone is going to be like every show is going to be unique to the group of people putting it together.
Absolutely. Well, because in the workshop, it's all about interpretation and mm-hmm. assumptions. And what you assume about your character is going to be completely dependent on your background and your beliefs and your preferences, you know? And Tuna Fish is one of the plays that I have seen the most done. It's because it's one of my oldest, but I think it draws people, which
totally
makes me very happy.
Yeah.
And just the number of ways that people have interpreted it, it's just been...
The funniest thing was we've got a picture from every show we've ever done on mm-hmm. the wall in our theater, and I was looking through some of them, and there it was, and I was like, what? Somebody else sort of done this at my school, like, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So, oh my God. Well, I don't know exactly the years, but yeah, somewhere around then. So that was really cool. And it, like, the picture, I was like, I don't want it to look like that at all. That looks so fake, so not what I want. And yeah, it was cool.
Because, well, it's good to know what you want. Like, it's right. And it's good to know what you don't want, you know, because sometimes you have to just work backwards. Right?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. What do you think, which character is going to be the most challenging to stage, do you think?
Our youngest actor is playing Albert, and he's really talented. I mean, he's definitely up for it, and he's excited, but he's just having a hard time, mostly with the timing, I think.
Mm.
But he's getting there, and it's going to be good. Totally, yeah. And I like it because I do lots of music and lots of singing in groups, and it's a lot like putting together different harmonies and making them fit because it's so hard at first, and then you get into a rhythm, and it starts to work.
When I describe it to people, I tell them to think of it as music.
Yeah, totally. That's what I thought of when I first saw it.
So. Are you going to use music?
I don't know.
Yeah?
I've done lots of lighting, stagecraft kind of things, but I've never been big in sound, so I don't know how to tie it together. So, but that's a good place for me to grow, so maybe I will.
Just to sort of think about how you can fit it to, how do you take the lighting that you know so well, and then how would you make that a sound?
Mm.
You know, like, is it musical, or is it, like, found sound, like, dripping or clocks? You know, is it, like, is it a primal sound, like drumming, like this morning? Or is it, words are failing me, metallic?
Ooh.
You know, like, so just think about what you see, what does that represent to you as sound?
Okay.
And even if you'd never use it, like, that probably would just be a good exercise.
Totally, yeah.
Just to take what you know and then just apply it to it, something that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of go somewhere. Do you think you'll want to do more directing?
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, it's kind of hard because you show up and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do
today.
I feel like I'm letting people down. But then you kind of get into a flow and it starts to work. I mean, we did our first read through. We've got four shows. We only have one stage. So we've been rotating around the school. And we had our first time in the theater standing. And it made all the difference. I couldn't visualize what I wanted them to be doing with their bodies until then. And I'm starting to get all these ideas and I was just writing furiously and like,
that's good.
Yeah. It's getting so much easier so quickly, which is cool.
What was your biggest fear as a director?
Honestly, not being able to tell people that I've gone to school with for 12 years what to do. Like,
is that the hardest thing, like working with your peers?
Yeah, it is. It's like, I don't want to tell them they're wrong because they're not, but they're not doing what I want and I want what I want. And I want them to do what I want.
So how did you do that? How are you dealing with that?
I apologize a lot, and I think I need to get over that.
Well, that's Canadian. That's just like, oh, I'm sorry, we're sorry.
Yeah, sorry, but I don't know. It's getting easier. I'm asking a lot of questions. I think that's a cool thing to do, to try to let them figure it out on their own, because they are smart people, and they do love the play. And we have got this really 3D look into the characters' lives, so they're making really great assumptions as to what their characters will be doing and how they're acting and how they're sitting and how they're standing on their own. And so just asking them the right questions really gets them to think about
the choices
how they're going to do
it. I think questions are by far the best tool, because you can ask a question that either makes them quantify the choice that they've made. Like, you know, and if they can answer you well, even if you don't agree with it, you can kind of go, oh, you know what? you've made this, you've obviously thought about this choice. But if they don't know the answer, then you can go, well, I just so happen to have thought about this and sort of like,
totally,
you know, and give the answer to them that way. Okay, that's really cool. No more questions?
No. Do you have a favorite character in the show?
Cherry.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah?
She's so cool. She's so, like, self-righteous and, like...
She's ridiculous. She's ridiculous.
So cool.
Because it's such a...
It makes you shudder just listening to some of the things she says.
Well, yeah. And because she's...
chills.
She is pretty evil. But she is. She embodies the things that aren't supposed to be. Like... the, you know, the quote-unquote, the babysitter, like that innocent
character. She's this total juxtaposition. She's like black and white in one bit, and everything totally contrasts each other about her character. I love it.
And then, you know, you add in, you know, she would be one of those quote-unquote Christians, right, who are supposed to, you know, love your neighbor and do all of that.
Yeah.
And then as a mother, and as who she is in the... You know, when she's brought into this world, it's very clear she's one of those stereotypes, too. Like, I like to sing to my kids, and, you know, and we do all the right things. And who knows what she's doing, really. Yeah. And I was telling, Anne and I were talking about how, too, with Albert's mom, it's like, she's failing so badly, which is so heartbreaking, because I think she's absolutely trying her best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she could try harder.
No.
And it's a total mess up.
So, and then there's this Cherry, and she's just rubbing it in.
Yeah.
And just making her totally aware of all of her mistakes and all the times she's messed up. It's like, oh, it's cruel.
Yeah, Cherry's my favorite character.
Yeah.
So I think that even though Albert is the main character, I think the play hinges on Cherry. What's your Cherry like as an actor?
She looks the part, 100%. Yeah. She's getting better. At first, I was really wary. She was the one that I wasn't set on. But it's getting better, and she's growing a lot. And she's the one that's mostly bringing things to the table. I found this out. I think this is the way it is. She took her whole script and, like, highlighted it and put sticky notes on it. This is a flashback. This isn't... You're supposed to say this. And I was like, great. You're, like, doing my work for me.
What more do you want from her?
I want her to stop doing the same things. Like, how do I explain this? She's angry at the same level all the time. And
yes.
Hurt. Like, it's... There's...
She's one note.
Yeah. And it's... I think it'll get better, because it is getting better. I don't know if it'll ever be perfect, but it's also high school theater, and you can't expect a ton.
Oh, you know what? Nothing is perfect. And I have seen such... First of all, I've seen such great high school theater, and I've seen such wretched professional theater. It's all... You know what? It's really all about the commitment of your...
Yeah.
Of who you're working with. And if who you're working with is committed... You know, if the final product is not perfect, your process is really valuable.
Totally.
Is she in grade?
She's in grade 12. Yeah, everybody's in grade 12 except for Albert, who's in grade 10.
You got the seniors.
Yeah, that's nice.
What's your set going to be like?
It's really minimal. Brodsky's actually in his workshop right now. He's making this great big, not great big, it's about 4 feet high, 8 feet long block on wheels. We're just going to have that roll in, and Albert will sit on top of it. So there's a visual difference between the three characters at the front and him. And other than that...
Black stage.
Cool lighting.
You can do a lot with lighting, man.
I love
well-designed
cool
lighting.
Because it's so different from color as we see it, like concrete. Like, you mix... blue and red, and you get orange.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Primary colors are different. Everything's so awesome when you turn it into light.
And stage light. I love stage light. I think, because you can create a world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can create a world with nothing. And an audience will sit there and just totally believe that they are.
Everything, yeah. It's so cool.
Awesome. I agree. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Emma.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great.
All right, thank you, Emma. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news.
Ah, and I didn't sing the song last week. Okay, I'm gonna do it. I have to do it twice now. I won't, seriously. It's a play feature. It's a play feature. It's time to feature a play. And we just have so many amazing new works in our catalog. I'm just floored with the quality of material that has been coming through the Theater Folk doors. And we just want to grab them and just get them out to you as quickly as we can. So here's another one. Last week, we talked about Stereotype High by Jeffrey Haar. Go read those sample pages, buy that play. If you want a really good experience for your students that is real and significant and humorous and fulfilling, Stereotype High ticks all those boxes so beautifully with wonderful, colorful rainbow check marks. And then this week I want to tell you about A Deep Poetic Journey into Something by Forrest Musselman. And this one is, again, we have a teenager at the center of it. If you have an actress who you know is going into her senior year and you want sort of a showcase, this is a wonderful showcase role, but it's also just got an amazing movement component to it that just takes someone going through an internal struggle and theatricalizes it. That doesn't sound great, but it turns inner thoughts into theater. There we go. So in this play, we have Jane, who wants more out of life. She wants to burst out of the box life is handing her. She wants something special. She wants to be something special, but it's not working out. And as events in her life sort of spiral out of control, she starts to think more and more about that box, and maybe it would be better to stay in her box. And so this is a monologue for Jane from the very beginning of the play. I mean, think about it. We grow up in boxes that look like other boxes and neighborhoods that look like other neighborhoods. We go to school in boxes where they teach us how to conform, and then we graduate and go to college, which is a larger box that teaches us how to work in a box so we can buy our own box and then start the whole process over again. Not me. I want more out of my life. I just wish I knew what. I want to believe that inside those boxes there are organic shapes that move beyond structured lines, and with a mighty push they find themselves outside the wall, free. And then they move. A deep poetic journey. These are shapes I keep in my mind. Shapes that want to make the push, but they can't. They're shadows that flit and flutter away into a big, dark nothing. That's me. I'm on this deep poetic journey into nothing. And it's been a big nothing for a long time. Go to www.theaterfolk.com. You know what I'm going to say. Read the sample pages for A Deep Poetic Journey into Something by Forrest Musselman. Read pages by play. Now do it. You will love it. Lastly, where or where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app. And you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. And if you've got time, you know, give us some feedback. Throw up a review on iTunes. Send us an email that says, I want an interview on such and such a topic. I, of course, like every other artist, wants, you know, the whole entire world to love me unconditionally. And, well, that's okay. I need to get over myself. Things don't happen that way, right? In order to get better with anything, we need to hear from you. And we need to know what you're thinking. And we need to know what direction you'd like this to head in. And, you know, we can take feedback and process it and see what happens next. Oh, big breath on that one. Oh, I hate asking for feedback. It is my Achilles heel that I will continue to work on. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.